CKUT 9.3 FM, every Thursday on this show. Positive vibe, take you alive from 3 to 5.
Well, you only need the light when it's burning low.
I leave with this.
Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go. Staring at the bottom of your glass, hoping one day you'll make a dream last. But dreams come slow and they go so fast. You see it when you close your eyes. Maybe one day you'll understand why everything you touch surely dies. But you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called the news have brought to you live.
Listening to the Prison Radio Show, a part of CKUT's Off the Hour. Prison Radio has been on the air for more than 10 years. Prison Radio seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggle by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging our ideas about what are prisons and the people inside our jails. Prison Radio is dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. This is in the interest of forging stronger ties with incarcerated and non-incarcerated people, ensuring that prisoners have direct control over their representation and that our understanding of prisons be informed by those who live inside their walls. We invite anyone who is interested in collaborating on programming to contact us. Those who have been affected by the prison system in any way are encouraged to get involved. You can email news@cqt.ca or prison@cqt.ca, or you can call us at 514-448-4041, extension 6788. You are listening to CQUT, Montreal Community Campus Radio, located on 90.3 FM on the dial, and www.cqut.ca online.
You're listening to The Prison Radio Show. My name is Virginia.
My name is Noah.
And we're your hosts for today's show. Today on the Prison Radio Show, the Prisoner Correspondence Project, and New Year's Eve noise demos, we'll be speaking with three members of the Prisoner Correspondence Project, a collectively run initiative based out of Montreal. The group coordinates a direct mail correspondence, a pen pal program, for gay, lesbian, transsexual, transgender, gender variant, two-spirit, intersex, bisexual, and queer inmates, linking these prisoners with people who are a part of these same communities outside of prison. We will also be hearing from anarchists in Southern Ontario about the New Year's Eve noise demo that happened there. It was their seventh year organizing a New Year's Eve noise demo in the area. We will finish up the show today with a report back from the new New Year's Eve noise demo that happened for the first time in Rimouski here in Quebec.
To start the show today, we have an update about Leonard Peltier's current health crisis. For anyone who may not be familiar with Leonard Peltier, Leonard is an Indigenous activist who was arrested in 1976 in connection with the deaths of two agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or the FBI, and wrongfully convicted in 1977. Peltier has been in prison for nearly 40 years and is currently being held at a federal prison in Coleman, Florida. Peltier's preliminary diagnosis of abdominal aortic aneurysm has recently been confirmed. The test results as to size and location of the aneurysm will be reviewed by physicians who will consult with Leonard as to the best course of action. Peltier's supporters are calling for help in getting Leonard the care he needs. As a political prisoner, Leonard is dealing with a huge amount of bureaucracy, and his supporters are asking for help in keeping the pressure on the FBI, or sorry, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, to ensure that Peltier gets timely and quality health care. As is almost always the case with prisoners, and sometimes even more so for quote-unquote high-profile cases like Peltier's, the Bureau of Prisons, or BOP, has put a series of roadblocks in the way of supporters when it comes to easily advocating for Leonard. This means that you should consider sending a letter by snail mail. But to get a letter to the BOP quickly, you can visit faxzero.com if you're in the U.S., or faxzero.com/international if you're outside the U.S. You can send a letter via fax to each of the following people below. So the first one is Warden Tamira Jarvis, and the fax number is 352-689-6012. The next person who you can send a letter to is Helen J. Marbury, and the fax number to reach Helen J. Marbury is 678-686-1229. Finally, another number where you can send a letter is the Office of the Director for the Federal Bureau of Prisons. The fax number there is 202-514-6620. You can also visit www.bop.gov/inmates/concerns.jsp. Make reference to Leonard Peltier, number 89637-132, and USP Coleman 1. Voice your concern about Leonard's medical treatment and let the Federal Bureau of Prisons know that the world is watching. Demand that Leonard receive the best possible care. Be respectful but firm. The situation is life-threatening and Leonard is counting on us.
Montreal, if you were at Summer Rave, you heard tunes like this.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
I'm Mr. Pebble, now we are trained.
Pico!
Well, January 23rd, we're raving. Jab Army and Fire Empire presents Winter Rave 2016. The biggest, craziest party to hit winter in Montreal's history. Saturday, January 23rd, inside Club V Lounge.
As many of our listeners know, there's now a fairly well-established tradition of doing noise demos outside prisons and detention centers on New Year's Eve. Noise demos are a way that folks on the outside try to let folks inside know that they're not forgotten and they shouldn't have to spend New Year's Eve alone. We'll be hearing report backs from folks from Southern Ontario and Rimouski later in the show, but first we'll give a quick report back from the New Year's Eve noise demo that happened here in Montreal. So, to start off, Virginia, can you tell us what is a noise demo and what usually takes place during a noise demo?
So, a noise demo is kind of like a weird catch-all phrase for a demo that happens outside a prison. The general idea is that you make as much noise as possible so that people on the inside can hear you. Usually what takes place, at least in Montreal, is people will go out to Laval or out to the provincial prisons on the island. So, those are right near Henri Bourassa Metro. And people bring a bunch of different noisemakers with them and basically make a lot of noise, bring some banners. If it's New Year's Eve, people will definitely set off a bunch of fireworks. And people stick around and hope that their message gets heard. And usually we get some sort of response from the inside. I have a question for you, Noah. What, if any, were some of the highlights of this year's noise demo?
Well, I think this year some of the highlights in particular were that we were able to get a bit closer to some of the centers than last year and previous years. And so that was cool because it made it easier to make visual contact with folks and kind of like wave at people and have a bit of direct contact in that way. There was also some pretty great banners. Some people made a light up banner that was pretty awesome. And overall, it seemed a bit more established this year than last year, I would say. And that's cool because hopefully that means that we're kind of making it into more of a tradition. Can you maybe talk a bit to, in terms of like the theme of this year's demo, what in particular was special about this year's noise demo?
I don't know much about theme. In terms of the call out, we were highlighting a bunch of different forms of prisoner resistance that happened in the last year. Some of them were a hunger strike that an anarchist trans woman named Amazon was doing in a prison in the U.S. And another one was a hunger strike that mothers in the Carnes detention center in Texas had done against conditions in their center. We also talked a little bit about the two-year anniversary of hunger strikes and strikes in general that were happening in Lindsay, Ontario, by migrant folks who were being held in a provincial prison there. So we were highlighting all of those different struggles in the call-out for the demo. In terms of at the demo itself, it sort of turns into, for the crowd at least, a way to get to know that area of Laval. Like all of the prisons in Laval are all close together, and when people show up at the demo, they end up spending a bit of time wandering around in an area where there usually isn't very much pedestrian traffic and getting a sense of what those walls look like and what the proximity of the prisons are to each other. So this year we did the usual things that we do and went to all the four prisons that are out there, but maybe one thing that made this year special was that I think people went all out with the fireworks. So there were lots and lots and lots of fireworks, and people were setting them off at each prison that we went to. I think folks inside were pretty excited about that from what we can tell in terms of people turning the lights on and off in LeClaire and folks cheering at us out the windows, especially at the Federal Training Center minimum. So the End Immigration Detention Network has a list of demands, including 90 days max for immigration holds. And we also know that Women in Tongay released a manifesto with a list of demands, and they timed the release of that manifesto with the New Year's Eve noise demo. Noah, do you want to talk a bit about what the relationship is between this New Year's Eve action and these two struggles in particular?
Sure. So in planning this year's demo, we definitely tried to, I think there was an effort made to take both of these things into account. Trying to make connections both with folks who are working around issues of immigration and migrant justice, as well as folks who are involved, however peripherally, with the manifesto coming out of Tongay. And so given the timing of these things in organizing this year's New Year's Eve noise demo, there was particular attention paid to wanting to make sure that these things were highlighted, to trying to get folks who could speak to these things, speakers at the demo, consulting in preparation for the demo, and wanting to make sure that there's also follow-up going on with both of those things so that we don't kind of lose, lose the grounding for what some of the really kind of current real reasons are that we do things like New Year's Eve noise demos. So around this same time last year, we did a similar report back. It was probably on our first January show, in fact, and we did a little report back just like this about the noise demo. How do you think that this year's demo compared to last year's demo?
We definitely had more people. So last year, the organizers of the demo accidentally booked the bus that was driving people from the metro station out to Laval for the wrong night. And this year there was actually a bus, and the bus was completely full. The bus has like a 55 person capacity. And then we also had maybe like 5 or 6 or 7 support vehicles that were also completely full of people. So I would say we were around like 80 to 90 people out there. And that was pretty cool. Other ways that the demo compared to last year's, it was more snowy, which made a different backdrop for sure when we were out there. And I think we did, like, the organizing crew did a bit better of a job of collaborating with other people doing prison justice organizing in the city. So there's this new group that we might hear a bit about later called All Detentions Are Political, and they have been very involved in helping with the release of this manifesto from Tongay. And folks from that group were at the demo and had their own banner and were pretty involved in mobilizing for the demo amongst different groups of people who might not have shown up otherwise. So it was pretty interesting to see, like, more anti-prison organizing happening in Montreal, and then the result of that meaning that there were much more people at this demo than there were last year. Awesome. So last question that we have about the demo is, one thing that had come up in the last year was some folks were giving us feedback that there wasn't enough involvement of people who are incarcerated. And do you know if there was anything done this year in order to address that?
This question's a bit hard to answer without potentially putting people's security at risk, but I would say that just kind of like talking generally, I do think that there was definitely effort made to better consult with folks who are currently incarcerated or folks who have just recently been released from various kinds of detention centers. And that happened in a number of ways, both in terms of people who go into prisons regularly talking to folks on the inside and kind of reporting back about conversations, as well as consulting with folks who have recently gotten out and kind of things they're thinking about and things that they wanted to see at the demo. We haven't yet really gotten that much feedback about how things went this year. So if that's still an issue to address, that's certainly something that I think is important to be attentive to. But there were definitely efforts made to be much more intentional about kind of taking cues from folks who are currently inside or who have recently been released.
So the organizers of the demo said that if anyone wants to let them know about comments, feedback, or has questions about the demo, you can get in touch with them at nyecontreprisons, contreprisons, at riseup.net. You can also write us a letter and we'll pass it on to the organizers. We're at the Prison Radio Show, or simply PRS, care of CKUT, 3647 University Street, Montreal, Quebec, H3A2B3. The time is presently 5:17 p.m. You're listening to the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable, and www.ckut.ca.
There is this thing. Do you realize
what is?
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on.
And we're back. So we will now turn our attention to our in-studio guests, which are members of the Prisoner Correspondence Project. Welcome to the Prison Radio Show.
Hi, thanks
for having us. So we understand that y'all have a presentation that we're going to play, and then after that...
We're going to like introduce the project first say a few things, and then we can take a listen to what we brought in.
Even better.
Great. We're from the Prisoner Correspondence Project, which is a collectively run Montreal-based initiative that was founded back in 2007. And the project coordinates a pen pal program that links together LGBTQ prisoners in the U.S. and Canada with those who are similarly identified on the outside. And we also run a free resource library that sends prisoners by request information on a really wide range of topics, such as safer sex to coming out, transitioning, emotional self-care, and the most frequently requested, smut.
We are really in need of outside pen pals right now. Out of our 1,500 inside members, we have about 800 who are awaiting someone to write to, and some of them have been waiting since 2013. Our goal for the new year is to match up everyone waiting with a pen pal. So if you want to be matched up with someone, send us an email at info@prisonercorrespondenceproject.com.
We also wanted to let you know about an upcoming event that we're organizing. It's the Trans Prisoner Day of Action. It's an international day of action and solidarity with trans prisoners. It has events worldwide. And we'll be holding a screening of the film Cruel and Unusual, a 2006 documentary about trans women in the American prison system. So the event will be from 6 to 9 p.m. on January 20th at Café Ouvert, which is at 611 Duluth East at Saint-Sébastien.
So now we'll be reading some submissions that our Inside members have sent us. And this is from issue 13 of our biannual newsletter. The theme of this issue is the importance of queer friendship. So I'll be reading something written by Rogue. Before there were such places as PCP, Black and Pink, etc., queer inmates did the best we could to maintain correspondence with each other. Today, it's a different story where the world is literally opened up to the LGBTQ community in prison. The show of solidarity from the community helps those who have lost support of loved ones due to perpetual systematic ignorance.
And I'm going to read another submission that we got. Being around friends who understand me is the best feeling in the world. I don't have to close the door on my bisexual side like I do with certain people, but I can be myself and be accepted for who I am. It takes the pressure off day-to-day living too, believe it or not. You'd be surprised how simple things, like not having to limit your conversation, goes a long way. And when me and my gay and bi friends go out, it's the best time we have. So if it's just conversation or physical bonding, queer friendships are very important. Those who don't take things for granted understand. I'm currently locked up in a Texas prison, and you would be surprised how many inmates are living a lie and not being true to themselves. But that's a whole different issue. And that's from Deshaun in Texas.
And this is from Cody Riley. Prison is an environment where the gay man is nothing more than a sissy or a punk. Developing queer friendships reminds us that we aren't alone in our battle. It gives us confidants to talk to and people we can confide in. Sometimes it's just nice to be able to admire someone's ass together with someone else. Sadly, there is oftentimes the added benefit of safety. I say sadly because it's sad that there are still gay men and women out there being assaulted and abused due to their sexual orientation. So a part of this quote, specifically referring to the ass, is also featured on a beautiful large format silkscreen posters made by Elise Bujo-Graham that we now have for sale. We'll be tabling it at events, but you could also buy one through our Facebook page or our email.
Cool. And now we're going to take a little listen to this anecdote from C, who was a longtime collective member on the PCP and also who's had a pen pal for a number of years and who went to go visit them. And that's what this story is about.
C, I joined the collective of the Prisoner Correspondence Project in 2009. And then I also at the same time got to pen pals. So I was on the collective of the Prisoner Correspondence Project till like 2013 or something like that. But I've had the same two pen pals from 2009 till now. And
wow.
Yeah, and one of them is named Brandon. He is from LA. And one of them is Esmia. She's from New York. But they were both in prison in California, which, you know, most of the pen pals from the through the Prisoner Correspondence Project are from the U.S. and predominantly from Texas and California. Mm-hmm. Though that might be changing. But basically, yeah, so they were both in prison in California. Brandon actually got released in February 14th, Valentine's Day last year, mm-hmm. which was a pretty big deal, obviously. My relationship with both of them has definitely grown over the years, as any relationship does. It's also been really different between both of the pen pals, which yeah. I didn't necessarily expect, and I really appreciated.
And what was the difference between the two?
The one with Brandon developed a lot more quickly and more kind of more easily. We have a lot more in common, and he also enjoys writing a lot more. So I think that really struck me that, you know, people can be really different in different modes of communication and you don't even necessarily know. So with Esmia and I feel like we didn't really even connect that well until we spoke on the phone for the first time. And she was like a totally different person because she just expresses herself differently
yeah.
speaking than writing. Mm-hmm. Whereas Brandon like loved to write these long flowing letters and we would like debate philosophy and all these kind of, you know, political points. Like the when the Olympics were happening in Vancouver, we were like, what does this mean? Like we had a lot of good conversations about, you know, the politics around Olympics, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Whereas with Esmia, it's kind of been in our written communication more about, day-to-day interactions that she might be having or that I might be having a bit more superficial. Mm-hmm. But then when we got on the phone, she just came alive and our relationship came more alive as a result. Mm-hmm. she's hilarious, and I just like didn't even know that when writing. So I guess that's a good thing to think about in terms of how you want to communicate with your pen pal.
Like how people's personalities come through their letters or not.
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, so Brandon, because we had developed this kind of more intense relationship through letters, in which, not intense, but just we got to know each other's personalities better, when I was going to California on a trip, decided that I would go visit him in this prison in Northern California where he was. It was High Desert State Prison, which is actually on the border of Nevada. And it's really, I mean, it's really stark landscape, the high desert, which I didn't expect. But basically, it was a really... I went in 2012, so we'd been corresponding for 5 years. And so that was a really powerful meeting for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. It made me reflect a lot on why I was writing him and what kind of relationship we had, because it's really easy to have a lot of distance when you're writing letters. And then when we were face-to-face, our relationship all of a sudden became a lot more real. Mm-hmm. And then there were more questions to be had, like, what does our relationship really mean? Wow. What kind of relationship is it? Is it romantic, which I had never thought it was, and which I still didn't think it was, but the power of meetings face-to-face is so intense that... Mm-hmm. But it was a really beautiful experience, and obviously... deepened our friendship and changed the nature of our letters as we tried to explore, like, what kind of friendship we had.
Mm-hmm. How did your letters change after that?
Well, we just kind of had to a little bit debrief the aftermath of that meeting because he felt so grateful to me for visiting him that he kind of felt a little bit like maybe our relationship should change. Like, out of gratitude, he felt like maybe our relationship should be more intense than it was. And to him, that felt maybe, like, romantic. And we had to have a lot of discussion about that. But I was like, you know, I mean, I see you as a friend. And he was like, yeah, I mean, I also see you as a friend. But he just didn't really know what to do with that type of gratitude. So that made me reflect on the nature of the pen pal relationship, because I've always thought that it's both, you know, it's work that you're doing in solidarity with people in prison because you're trying to break down prison walls and work in solidarity with people who are also gay, lesbian, trans, queer. And it's also a friendship that you're developing. And so how to think about those two at the same time.
So that was an interview with a former collective member, C, talking about their pen pal relationship. So we are just wrapping up. We are the Prisoner Correspondence Project, and just a reminder, if you want to write to one of the 800 LGBTQ prisoners who are waiting for a pen pal, send us an email at info@prisonercorrespondenceproject.com.
And another reminder for the Trans Prisoner Day of Action, an international day of action in solidarity with trans prisoners. You should come to our screening, Cruel and Unusual, from 6 to 9 p.m. on January 20th at Café Ouvert, just 611 Avenue du Lut at Saint-Sébastien.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Prison Radio Show.
Thanks for having us.
The time is now 5:28 p.m. You're listening to the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable, and www.ckut.ca. So that was audio from an artist named Gabriel Solomon. The song is actually partly excerpts from noise demos that happened on the West Coast in support of Tamil migrants. You can check him out online. This first report back that we have is an interview with two anarchists in Southern Ontario. They talked to us about the noise demo that took place outside of both the new Toronto South Detention Center and the Barton Street Jail in Hamilton. So do you want to tell us a bit about how the New Year's Eve noise demo in Hamilton went?
You know, the New Year's noise demo at the Barton Jail in Hamilton was probably the best one we've ever had. We've been doing them there for 7 years on New Year's Eve. And this year we had close to 100 people come out for a really rowdy, festive march on the prison. People were able to like attack the jail with paint while also like playing drums and having a really festive party. We were able to see a lot of the prisoners on the inside, really just like banging on the walls and making a lot of noise and celebrating with us. So we were able to get out of there before the police really showed up. And just kind of had a very organized escape, so that's nice too.
I saw a communique on the internet that was talking about noise demos in general in Southern Ontario. Do you know anything about any other noise demos that happened in the area?
Yeah, so the tradition on New Year's Eve is that a lot of different cities kind of to the west of Toronto collaborate on doing often a series of noise demos. So this year we did two stops, and we did one at the new Metro South Detention Center in Toronto, also known as the Mimico Jail, the second largest jail in Canada. It's only half full right now, but it's on the way to like fill up, especially with the recent deal between the Prison Guards Union and the provincial government. So we were able to demonstrate there. The place is absolutely enormous and terrifying. We were only able to really access a part of it, but the people inside seemed at first very surprised to see us and then very receptive to giving kind of a show of solidarity out in this weird industrial suburb. But we only did the two stops this year, I think.
Okay. Did you see a big difference between doing a stop in a weird industrial suburb? And I know the Barton Jail is like right in the middle of Hamilton. Does it feel different to be in each of those places?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the Barton Jail, it's partly because we've done demonstrations there a lot of times, but partly it's also based in a neighborhood where a lot of us live. There's often a lot of people coming around. Like it's right next to a big grocery store and across the street from the beer store. So there's a lot of traffic. It's a very criminalized neighborhood. It's one of the poorest urban areas in Canada. And so the jail, being in that physical space, is this monument to the kinds of violence that all of us experience who live there. So we often get a lot of people like coming up and asking us what's going on, participating, doing shout-outs to loved ones from like inside the demo. It's really pretty heartwarming, just the reception it gets. It does feel like much safer territory. Like when the police do show up, like we can often count on other just kind of random people to crowd around and yell at them or help just kind of keep us safe or create a buffer. Whereas like out in these industrial suburbs, like sometimes when the jails are very isolated, it can feel a lot more vulnerable. It also can be more intense. It's just kind of you and the jail that's there, and it's just the sort of antagonism that you have towards those institutions and your ability to connect through the walls.
Do you want to talk a bit about crowd makeup? Did you feel like there were all different sorts of people at the demo? Was it generally people coming from like a specific community in Hamilton or in different neighborhoods in Southern Ontario? What was the crowd like this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was a lot more people than in previous years. And there were, the demos are organized by word of mouth only, so it mostly moves through kind of existing circles of friends and allies. So I guess a lot of the people there were folks who would identify as anarchists who have been active in this region for more or less long. But also this year, I think a lot of kind of new crews of friends got involved, like some people who were a bit younger, some people who were a bit older. And there were some people there who we were kind of like meeting for the first time who were maybe like relatives or friends of friends. And it was really nice. So we were able to kind of convene afterwards into like a bit of a New Year's party and get to know each other a little bit more after having had this experience in the street together and make some new friends. Yeah, can I pass you over to another buddy here for a sec?
Yes, totally.
Hi.
Hi. Do you want to share your thoughts with the Prison Radio Show about the noise demo that happened in Hamilton on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, I thought it was just really beautiful. It's been going on for, I think, 7 years. This is the seventh year that it's happened at the Barton Jail. So one really nice thing about that is that it's expected. Like, people are waiting in their windows, and we can really get around to I think almost everybody in the jail can see us, because you can walk right around the jail. So it's a connection that it's not just a surprise. It's like a sustained connection and something that people expect. We've even had some experiences in the past. We'll see what happens this year of kind of post-New Year's, there being maybe letters written, or at one point there was someone got their story into the Hamilton Spectator about spending New Year's inside and how happy they were to see the demo happen. So this kind of connection is really great.
Do you know, I know in a lot of places there's been this debate around noise demos and the prison locking down folks inside as a consequence of people being outside. Have you guys, you know, talked about those questions and the kind of impact that they have when you go to the Barton Jail?
Yeah, and for that reason, there are certain places that, you know, that's not an option anymore. So some jails that we've gone to, but with the Barton Jail part, it's not come up. Like, of course, it's really hard to know, but we're sensitive to that for sure. But it doesn't seem like a problem at this point.
Do you have anything else you want to say about the demo or the experience of being in it or what you thought about, like, demos in other places that have been happening?
I think the best thing about it is that it makes New Year's Eve, this night that's just about maybe kind of, like, more meaningless party, and it really makes it have a deeper meaning in Hamilton, and that it's really great to see that spreading. It was nice to see, like, I don't know, 60 people, and to see that that's staying, despite, for example, last year having some pretty harsh police presence. Luckily, this year we didn't, but it was also really great to see that that didn't deter folks, so I'm really happy about it.
I know in Montreal, the people were pretty excited about there being a ton of fireworks. Were there lots of fireworks in Hamilton, too?
There were some, like, I was impressed. They were these professional, huge ones. Really big fireworks this year. As well as some organizers put together loot bags with fun things in them to hand out. And there was also a zine that marked the seventh year with cults from all the other years and details about the history of the prison demos.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that feels important to me about this tradition is that it includes within all the other kind of, like, political or anti-political, whatever you want to say, work we do throughout the rest of the year, includes this analysis of prison. I feel like prison isn't just this issue that belongs to people who've been locked up or who have some particular connection to some prisoner or another. I feel like prison is this institution that is very central to how society operates and how it maintains control over us in our day-to-day lives, you know? So I think it's important to find these moments where we can make the presence of prison very visible and make it very concrete and try to find ways to enter into conflict with it as, like, a step towards kind of this larger project of, like, liberatory struggle. I feel like it's very empowering for the people who participate to sort of break through some of that wall of fear that prison represents and that can kind of hold us back and take these steps towards doing small attacks against it, either with, like, vandalism or with noise or just by being there and breaking down the isolation and separation that those walls create.
Are there other times a year in Hamilton when people go to the Barton Jail and have demos?
Yeah, there's often a smaller daytime thing that happens on Prisoner Justice Day where the goal is to usually just, like, say hi, happy Prisoner Justice Day. Oftentimes that includes friends and family of people who are in jail at the time. Mm-hmm. And then often, we actually dropped the ball on this recently, but oftentimes when there's particular abuses of power in there or when inmates die, because the Barton Jail is some of the worst conditions of anywhere in the prison system in Ontario, and it was built to house something like less than 400 people, and there's like 750 in there right now, so it's very overcrowded, and people are unfortunately very frequently dying in these conditions. So we try to hold demos when that happens just to say, like, hold on, like, this isn't passing unnoticed. Like, this isn't just another case where the local newspaper can publish a story about, oh, how come drugs are getting into the prison? But rather, like, we see this as this system, like, killing our neighbors, and we don't want to just let it go by, like, even if we have very limited ability to actually make those things stop. I feel like we can at least, like, humanize the people who are experiencing that violence.
I guess I have one last question, which is about like creating anarchist traditions at different mm-hmm. times of the year. Do you feel like the noise demo is part of a couple other anarchist traditions that happen in Hamilton? I know in Montreal we have like a few solid demos that seem to be mainstays that happen every year that people prepare a lot for, and the New Year's Eve noise demo isn't quite there yet, but could become one of them easily. Like, we've been doing it on and off for probably 5 or 6 years now.
Great.
Does it feel that way in Hamilton? Are there like other things that people tend to look forward to throughout the year?
Yeah, definitely. The New Year's demo is probably like the oldest one at this point, like the most established one. May Day is also really big. I feel people have been doing that for, this will be the fifth year, doing usually like a block party, just kind of taking up space in a public park and doing music and giving away food and doing free stores, and then also doing like a pretty rowdy festive march, just sneaking around the downtown, just being ridiculous. And people have also been trying to establish around March 15th tradition instead of traveling to Montreal. So there's been, I guess, two demos now on the 15th and plans to continue.
I guess, okay, one last question. So you guys do the New Year's Eve noise demo, and then sometimes you hear stories from folks inside, either through the newspapers or through people getting in touch or whatever, afterwards about what they thought about it. Do you ever end up getting the chance to maintain connections with folks inside who've been getting out, who've had different experiences, or people who've like showed up at the noise demo the next year or something like that?
Yeah, honestly, not really. I feel like it's a shortfall of that practice, but it doesn't really grow into sustained relationships. I feel like, broadly speaking, like the folks who are in there like know who's behind it. And there's times where people kind of seek us out. Like, we get people who will come into like the local social center, who will like drop by at May Day or like something like that. But mostly, like, we don't, in the past, people did cool things like having an address for a local ABC or something on a banner that they would go and fly outside the jail the next day so that people could see it in daylight and then like write letters. But usually, no, there's not that much connection. Also, just because people in Barton are almost all there for very short periods of time. Mm-hmm. So people who are locked up over the holidays, like, it's mostly just due to like bad luck or bad timing that they're in there during that period. Some people are in there for a lot longer, like people who are denied bail on long trials, but it's a very small minority. So, like, the high turnover does make it a bit trickier. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was an interview about the New Year's Eve noise demo in Southern Ontario. We talked a lot about Hamilton in the interview, but the demo also stopped at the Toronto South Detention Center. If you want to read more about the demo, including the communique and some reflections on noise demos as a practice, you can visit thehamiltoninstitute.noblogs.org. To end our show today, we have here in the studio someone who's going to give us a report back on the noise demo that happened in Rimouski on New Year's Eve. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So my first question is, was this the first New Year's Eve noise demo that happened outside the provincial prison in Rimouski?
For what I know now, yes, it was the first time. It's not a tradition that is really present in Quebec, so yes.
How was the demo?
It was really nice. We were a few person, about 12 person, and we went there with pans and spoon to make noise, and with a banner too. And when we entered the parking zone, the guarda came and asked us, like, what the hell are you doing here? And she never saw this before, so she was like, I already called the cops and you need to leave. So we finally just went outside of the parking because it was a private property and we couldn't stay there. But we were just in front of the parking and we can see the prison through the fence. And we start... I explained a little bit what was the situation in Rimouski for the prison and the prisoner. And I also read the manifest des détenus contre l'austérité. That is a text that a friend wrote about the situation in Tanguay prison for women. And at this moment, the cops came and they asked us like what we were doing. And it was the first time also that they see this happening, so they didn't know if it was okay or not, but definitely they let us stay there and just ask like that we don't enter again in the site. And so when the police left, we threw the fireworks and it was really nice.
What kind of reactions did you get from people inside? Could you see them or hear them from where you were?
No, it was like a really big field, and the prison was really far. And the site that we had access to, there was no windows. So the only way they may have hear us, it was when we threw the fireworks, and maybe with the noise that we made. But I don't know if they saw us. I don't think they could see us.
And overall, how long were you guys outside the prison there?
I don't know for how long, around like 30 to 45 minutes.
Your call-out said, quote, "Since the majority of prisoners are locked up for crimes related to their living conditions, we maintain that every incarceration is political." And you also said earlier in the interview that one of the things you read out loud at the demo was about conditions in Rimouski. Can you talk about this idea of every incarceration being political a bit?
Yes. Like, for me, the best example is the situation of First Nation members. In Canada, there are around like 4% of the total population, but in prison, there are around 25% of the prisoners. So this shows like it's really related to the colonialism and the politics that white people put in place when they arrive in Canada. So this, for me, is a big example of how the incarceration is political, and also the link between poverty and the condition of living of people that are poor will most of the time lead them to have small crimes that will in the end put them in prison. But big people that have like steal money in banks and things like that will never go in prison for. And this is why capitalism is really related with the prison and the domination of money and social condition. So this is why, for me, every detention is political. And yes, another thing that is really present in Rimouski prison is the increase of people with mental illness that instead of going in institute to help them and have medication and people to help them in the society, they are put in jail because there is no more money for groups that will support them.
Can you talk a little bit more about conditions in the prison in Rimouski?
The last numbers that I have are from 2013, so I guess that since that it's getting worse with the austerity program of the government. So there was about 135% of occupation in the room in Rimouski, so it's really bad condition. People don't have, there are two in cells that are supposed to be for one person. And also there was in 1 year, I think 2% that suicide, and also 2 or 3% that was detained even if they were supposed to be outside of the prison because of lack of organization, and they just don't follow the, I don't know how to say it.
The regulations or something? Yeah.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, a lot of problems. And also, there are a few prisons in the east of Quebec. So, for example, for women, even if they are in Sept-Îles and they do a crime there, they need to be in a prison for women, so they are going back in the west side of Quebec. So sometimes they are really far from their family, and even if they can go outside for a few days, they will not have the time to see their family. So these are really hard conditions that we can see in the east of Quebec.
I think that's it for my questions. Do you have anything that you want to add?
Yes, I hope that for the next year there will be more demonstration outside of the prison, because I think it's a really nice thing to do for a new year, and I hope in Quebec it will become a tradition.
Great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We were just talking about the New Year's Eve noise demo that happened outside the provincial prison in Rimouski. It was the first demo of that type to happen outside of that prison. And there was also a New Year's Eve noise demo outside of the federal prison for women in Joliet, and that was also a first. So it's pretty exciting to see these types of demos spreading around New Year's Eve in Quebec. The time is presently 5:49 p.m. You're listening to the Prison Radio Show, and we are going to listen to a bit more music.
Anarquismo, conjunto de doctrinas de los anarquistas. Conducta política destructora de la autoridad y subversiva del orden social. A mí me parece bien. A mí me parece bien destruir ciertas cosas. Si destruyes ciertas cosas, puedes construir en lugar de esas cosas.
Si te diste cuenta que lo que llamas existencia no se siente como vida, que jornadas y rutinas se volvió reiterativa agonía. Si tu piel detesta tanto el uso de overol como el uso de eterno, si despailaste de que el único infierno es la existencia de gobiernos, si sientes que la inmaculada está toda culiada y despailaste que la percepción de realidad está toda manoseada. Frunce el ceño, puño al puño y al sistema dale duro por cagarnos el presente y el futuro. Desobedece si nuevos senderos aparecen, no falso aviso de bomba en tu trabajo si quieres que sea verdadero. La salida al patrón con un palo, una capucha, sácale la chucha. Los jefes echa veneno por ponerle precio a los sueños, por creer que de todos son dueños. Quemales el auto, último modelo, manchale la iglesia, rompele los vidrios. En la misa, en el diezmo, deja un condón usado, a ver si ahora se horrorizan esos ladrones depravados. Putos curas y pastores agilados deberían morir en una plaza, todos juntos ahorcados. Daña ese partido de corruptos y vendidos, usa el fuego si andas motivado, pero con sus militantes adentro amarrados. Destruye bancos y almacenes, quema sus camiones, que por ahí ellos se llevan lo poco que nos queda. Anarquía, a destruirlo todo y a vivir con rebeldía. Anarquía, a realizarlo todo y a vivir con alegría. Anarquía, a destruirlo todo y a vivir con rebeldía. Anarquía, a realizarlo todo y a vivir con alegría. Silencio por el sentido y su partida por la vida y su agonía. Un minuto a todos los caídos en la lucha contra el enemigo. Un minuto a todos los secuestrados que se ha llevado el Estado. Y toda una vida en rebeldía para darle fin a esta agonía. Raya todas las murallas con poesía y formación amenazas. Muéstrale al mundo todo lo que te pasa. Ocupa una casa, reviéntale la chapa. Diga si te la encontraste y con esfuerzo y dedicación aseguro que te quedaste. Saca libros y fanzines, películas, documentales con propuestas y saberes. Que rompa límites de rutinarios quehaceres. Si es que sea el alimento, ocupa la tierra con una huerta rural o casera. Recicla de la feria, encontrarás muchas cosas buenas que desechan pero por feas. Cágate en la estética que va a recuperar en tiendas y supermercados. La mejor táctica no sirve fly de punk y core. La práctica es ir pimpeado de ciudadanos, así con guardias te limpias el ano. Si se trata de expresarse, te aconsejo esas formas que les han llamado arte. Cantar, rapear, tocar, malabariar, actuar, son voladas para aplicarse si tú quieres conocerte y también con los otros de otras formas conectarte. Ataquemos la ignorancia, el dinero, de todo aprendamos, con todos saberes compartamos, que solo así nos liberamos. Hay mucho por destruir, mucho más por construir, pero hagas lo que hagas, no lo hagas por deber. Hagas lo que hagas, hazlo por placer, de experimentar sin límites tu infinito ser. Anarquía, a destruirlo todo y a vivir con rebeldía. Anarquía, a realizarlo todo y a vivir con alegría. Anarquía, a destruirlo todo y a vivir con rebeldía. Anarquía, a realizarlo todo y a vivir con alegría.
Me gustaría ser testigo de un gigantesco proyecto de desmantelamiento. Deshacernos de todo lo insustancial. Deshacernos de todas esas cosas que destruyen la naturaleza, que nos separan de ella, que nos abocan a la rutina de trabajar y consumir.
Si realmente quieren cambiar el mundo, deben cambiar primero ustedes.
Abajo toda cárcel, abajo toda prisión. No más limitación al pensamiento, a la acción. Abajo toda cárcel, abajo toda prisión. No más limitación al pensamiento, a la acción. Abajo toda cárcel, abajo toda prisión. No más limitación al pensamiento, a la acción.
Así vamos, vieja. Cuidado con los pacos, los milicos, pero con los que están en tu cabeza.
Disparo contra la cárcel porque es arma de burgueses, pa' mantener a raya al que solo se empobrece. Disparo contra la cárcel, castiga al que no se adapta a todo lo que quiere, que la vida nos rapta, que la vida nos pacta. Disparo contra la cárcel porque refleja decadencia, que sistemas no funcionan generando delincuencia. Disparo contra la cárcel porque crea por un lado vigilantes agilados y por otro psicoseados vigilados. Disparo contra la cárcel, no existe la justicia si la aplica un tribunal. Reconozco negación de todo fin individual cada vez que interviene la caca institucional. Disparo contra la cárcel, a conflicto solución no les veo cuando no se vuelven reos, así es como lo creo. Disparo contra la cárcel, simboliza obediencia, autoridad, y esa mierda es necesario eliminar. Disparo contra la cárcel porque el humano es animal y es necesario entender que como tal no morimos sin libertad. Destruyamos toda cárcel, sea psiquiátrica o penal, sea urbana o laboral, religiosa, familiar, sea local o nacional. Destruyamos toda cárcel, ya vivir en libertad, ya vivir en libertad, ya, ya, así es, ya vivir en libertad, ya.
Abajo toda cárcel, abajo toda prisión, no más limitación al pensamiento, a la acción. Abajo toda cárcel, abajo toda prisión, no más limitación al pensamiento, a la acción. Abajo toda cárcel, abajo toda prisión, no más limitación al pensamiento, a la acción.
Libertad a todos los presos anarquistas y antiautoritarios. Libertad a todo preso por luchar. Libertad a todo preso en general, sea político o social. A derribar toda muralla, opresión o límite.
Those were the songs Desobediencia Armada and Abajo Toda by the band Delirios de Demolición. You are listening to the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable, and www.ckut.ca. The time is presently 5:56 p.m. To check out past episodes of the Prison Radio Show, you can go to prisonradioshow.wordpress.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Prison Radio Show. The Prison Radio Show airs twice a month on CKUT. We're on the air on the second Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. and the fourth Friday at 11 a.m. The next Prison Radio Show will air on Friday, January 22nd at 11 a.m. If you have any questions on anything that you've heard on today's show, or if you wish to be involved with the show, feel free to contact us at prison@ckut.ca. Formerly incarcerated people are encouraged to participate. Folks can also leave a message on our listener comment line at 514-448-4041, extension 2547. If you're in prison, we encourage you to participate in the show in any way possible. Feel free to write us at The Prison Radio Show, or simply write PRS, care of CKUT, 3647 University Street, Montreal, Quebec, postal code H3A2B3. Thanks for tuning into The Prison Radio Show here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name's Noah.
And my name is Virginia.
And we've been your hosts for today. Please stay tuned.
There is this thing. Do you realize
what is?
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing.
On.
There is this thing going on.
What
do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live. We'll be right back.